Well, happy Memorial Day weekend. Thank you to our veterans. Amen.
Corey.
Hallelujah. Corey, any other veterans we have here? All right. All right, Corey. Awesome, awesome, awesome. So, honor them. All right. Hallelujah. Amen. Tonight I want to talk about leaning not onto your own understanding. Leaning not to your own understanding, right? I may not be the brightest person to ever walk the planet, but you know, everybody says that King Solomon was the wisest man. I kind of debate because it didn't end up very good, right? He started good, but it didn't end up very good, right? Anyway, you got a bunch of heathen wives and you listen to them, and not that wives are bad, but I'm saying heathen wives are not good, right? You know? So I'm going to get like all this hate mail and everything, all these texts. I'm kidding. But there's wisdom in trusting in God, because if you don't know, just say this: the more I learn, the more I study, the more I don't know. And Brother Hagin always had this saying. He said, you know, I feel like I know the least of anybody, and I'm thinking, okay, if you know the least of anybody, where does that leave me? So, you know, and guess who has all the answers? The Lord. You don't. I don't. We don't. But the Lord does. And he can use people. He can use the Word. He can use, obviously, the Holy Spirit. He can use people to speak through them to have wisdom. And the Bible also talks about in the multitude of counsel, there is what? Wisdom. Sometimes there's people you need to connect with, right? Why reinvent the wheel? I'll just go talk to somebody that's invented it. So, turn to Proverbs chapter 3. We're probably not going to go a long time tonight because I'm hungry. Did I say that out loud? Pastor's carnal! Talking about food again. I'm kidding. Well, I am hungry, but that's not why we're... I'm getting a stink eye from some people here. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, the NASB, I've got less King James tonight, so there you go, Adrian. All right, she's always like, you need her. So anyway, but I still use the King James. I sleep with it. I cuddle with it. It's by my bed. Oh, it's my happy place. But anyway, but we'll move on from the King James. Yes, I'm going to use the King James. And yes, I have the King James right here because it is my safety blanket. Linus has his blanket. I have my King James Bible. Okay? So Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, what? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean unto your own understanding. This is very profound on some things. Hi there. How are you?
Just coming to check.
Hi, everybody. And so, lean not to your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Let's stop for a minute. If we have any basic understanding of the Bible, how many times were people wrong and God was right? How many times were Moses, when he went to the Red Sea, looked like everything was lost, but God still had a plan? It did not look possible. Everything looked hopeless. And let's just pause here for a moment, because if we're having faith in God, how many of you have ever had problems in your life and you're like, I don't know how we're going to get out of this? Right? I'm sure we probably had some of those issues, right? And you look back now, and a year later, you're like, you forgot all about it. You don't even remember that. I mean, there are things that I remember going, oh, I'm concerned about things, and now I'm thinking, oh, I guess I remember that. And the devil always wants you to think that everything is going to go, I mean, this one situation goes about, you're ruined for a life. That's completely garbage. I mean, there's still, I was reading this quote, and it said, I love tomorrows because they're not filled with mistakes yet. And I thought it was so powerful that, you know, tomorrow, there are no mistakes in tomorrow. So again, you know, Lean, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean into your own understanding. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, it says, you want to turn there, or write it down. But again, we're not going to lean unto our own understanding. I get scared around. Now, there are things where you're confident in the Word and you're confident with the things of the Lord, but I get really nervous around people that act like they've got everything, they know everything. Really? I mean, I have, you know, I mean, every person in here, you have your own expertise on things, and you know a lot more than I do in areas, and I probably know some things that you don't know, and vice versa. But to say that you're a master of everything in an area, I mean, to me, I want to continue to grow, I want to continue to learn, I want to continue to develop. You know, I don't know everything, but God can help us because He's the one that has all the answers. But 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, but thanks be to God who what? Always, doesn't say sometimes, but it says He always leads us in triumph in Christ. We're going to read another scripture here in a minute, and this you may seem like, well, I've gone through some bumps in life. Well, just hold on. We'll talk about that here in a minute. And then it goes on and says, and let me start up again, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. You notice it's in Christ. And through us reveals the fragrance of the knowledge of Him in every place. Isaiah 41:10. I think some people twist verses around. We're going to read one here in a minute where everybody twists it around. But we're going to dissect it correctly, the way I believe God intends it to be read, because we can religiously just fling things out there. Isaiah 41:10 says, do not fear, for I am with you. If we're born again and the Lord's with us, He's with us all the time. I remember I had one of those weeks where it just seems like everything kind of falls apart, or you're just busy, or just something's crazy. I had that this week, right? Like, I'm building something. I'm either building something, putting something together, or fixing something that's tore up. Yeah. It just felt like it rained, it poured this week, you know? I get something done, and then something else breaks, and something else happens, and I'm like, I told Adrian today, I said, Lord, I need a good week. It's just silly things happening all week. You know, you're just busy and things happen. And then, you know, I get something fixed. And then the other day, the windstorm broke our umbrella on the deck. And it's like, just silly things like that. But you know what? God's with me. It's okay. It's not the end of the world. Yeah, it makes me mad. These silly things, it irritates me. But, you know, it's just one thing after another, and not everybody's like that, but there's just sometimes you just sit back and think, okay, I'm done. I'm tired of doing this. And we see here, do not be afraid, for I am with you. God isn't thrown off by everything that's going on in life. Do not be afraid. How many have been tempted to be afraid, right? The bills, the this, the that, the situation, you just don't know what's going to happen. Don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will also help you. I will also uphold you with my righteous right hand. Not only is He there with you, but He's going to hold you up. I want to read a few more scriptures here real quick, and we'll get into some other things. But this is Psalms 46:1. Psalms 46:1. And this is why it's important to meditate on the Word, because we need to get these scriptures in ourselves, because we think that we're alone all the time, that we have to figure everything out on our own, and we don't. Or sometimes we think that we've got to solve the problem right now. Like, we got to have an answer. We got to do something right this second. And sometimes we don't have to. Sometimes, you know, let's just be honest. Most things in our life are not an emergency. I mean, don't have to drop every single thing at this second to do everything. Sometimes there are things that we can just kind of put on a shelf, and then, you know, we'll just wait on God. But you know, something due, you ever look at God? God works in things where he'll wait till the last minute to do it. Or it seems like in our book, too late. And we're always like, God, you got to get this done. You got to get this done. And he's like, oh, I got it taken care of. But see, we think God's failed us because he hasn't done it in our time. And that's important. Psalms 46:1 says, God is our refuge and our strength. He is our strength. And what is our strength? Not only is in God is our strength, but what is it? The joy of the Lord is my strength, right? The thing the devil is going to try to do is going to try to steal your joy, your hope, your faith, everything, and leave a note that God did it, right? A very ready help in trouble. Do you know what? God is willing and ready to help us no matter what we're going through, financial, whatever that situation is. Therefore, do not fear not, though the earth shakes and the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake as its swelling pride. Dave, the earth is shaking and we're seeing mountains crumble and everything, and God says, chill out, okay? And we're flipping out over the water bill. It's like, I think we've got to kind of put things in perspective, right? So how many times have we gotten into trouble? Challenges with kids, right? Nobody's ever had problems with kids before, right? No challenges with kids. Or finances or employment, right? Or maybe your business isn't going the way it should be. Maybe relationship problems, addictions, fears, worry. Nobody in here has ever experienced those things, right? Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon that is formed against you will succeed. What is a weapon? Fear. You know, the only thing the devil has is a power of suggestion. And that's what he did in the Garden of Eden. He just, well, you know what? He's really told you not to eat that because that fruit, the serpent telling Adam and Eve, he really doesn't want you eating that fruit in the garden because your eyes will be enlightened. Well, their eyes were already enlightened. Why do I need to be exposed to garbage? So that's the whole thing. Why do I need to know how bad things are so I can know how good it is? I mean, you know, the angels in heaven right now probably aren't going, you know what, I'd really like to get a taste of hell just to see how good heaven is. That doesn't make any sense, does it? No. The angels in heaven are going, I'm happy right where I'm at. Everything's cool, right? I don't want to do that. And so it's all just a power of suggestion. So Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon that is formed against you will succeed, and you will condemn every tongue that accuses you in judgment. So even those people that come along and try to cause problems, they're going to be condemned. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication is from me, declares the Lord. Guess what? God is going to take care of these issues, right? Romans 8:28. Here's one I want to camp on for a few minutes. Romans 8:28. Now, this is a scripture, I believe, that gets twisted around. All right, we're going to talk about it. And this is where all the religious folks like to camp out. And this is their excuse and their crutch for God putting sickness on people and every other kind of garbage, and that's not true. Guess what? There's no sickness in heaven. There's no diseases. Nobody's walking around with AIDS or cancer in heaven. Nobody is broke in heaven, right? Nobody's depressed in heaven. They're not handing out antidepressants when you get to the pearly gates, right? That stuff doesn't exist there. So why, if God doesn't have sickness and disease, how is he going to give you something he doesn't possess? Romans 8:28 says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those that love God, to those who are called, what? According to his purpose. Now, it doesn't say God causes bad things, does he? Or he places bad things on people. But it says, we know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those that love God. I'm going to ask you something. Did things work out for Joseph in the end? Yeah. Okay. Now, do you think that God is the one that sold Joseph into slavery? He said, you know what? This sounds like a pretty good idea. Let's go ahead and make sure he's sold into slavery. No. His brothers had a flesh problem called jealousy. Right, wrong, or indifferent. Jacob should, you know, whether how you treat your kids, whatever. I mean, I do have a favorite at home. And it's common knowledge who my favorite child is. She's our 5-year-old mini golden doodle, Abby. She's my favorite child. The girls on the way here, they're like, Dad, no, seriously. Besides Abby, who's your favorite? I'm like, it's still Abby. I'm sorry. Yeah. She doesn't give me any problems at night. She just does whatever I tell her to. It's great. So
sweet all the time.
Sweet all the time. And she's got a little sidekick, Ginger. Those two clowns bounce all over the house. But anyway, that's who my favorite is in the house. And I'm pretty bold about it. So, yeah. Anyway, and my second would be Ginger. So, yeah, the two dogs. Yeah, so anyway, they're cheaper. Well, sometimes. I don't know. Dogs are getting a little bit spendy anymore, but animals are. But so there was some different. There was some favoritism there. Good, right, wrong. I don't know. You know, that's kind of. I'm just reading the Bible. I'm not in the picture. But you know, God is not saying, you know what? Let's put him in prison. Let's do this. Let's do that. And let's cause it. At the end of it, what does Joseph say? He says, because Joseph, the interpretation of Joseph's name and Jesus are the same. Did you realize that? And there are often they're synonymous in some of the interpretations. But Joseph, at the end of that scripture, when he is in his brothers, if you're not familiar with the story of Joseph, Joseph sold in slavery, had the coat of many colors. And so anyway, ended up being second to Pharaoh, right under Pharaoh. And God granted him the ability to interpret dreams. And so he's able to interpret the dream, understand that there were 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. God gave him administrative gift on what to do as far as that. He saved Egypt and also Israel. At the end of that, he says, I came and God sent me here to save our people. And I'm like, that's perfect segue into Jesus. Because that's Jesus was to save his people, which is all of us. And so there's very, when we read the Old Testament, again, Hebrews says that the Old Testament is types and shadows of Christ. It's types and shadows. That's where I get a little bit, I love the Old Testament. I read it a lot. I absolutely love the Old Testament. There's many great things in there. But I base my doctrine off who God is from Jesus. Because the Bible is all pointing to one person, and that's Jesus, the Savior, to redeem us. And so when people get a little bit wonky on their dogmatic doctrine about who God is, and they're pulling out Old Testament scriptures, I'm like, first of all, they were under an old covenant, right? So God dealt with them differently than they do with us. We're in a grace period, we're called the church age, which is the grace period. So we definitely have a lot more grace than they did. We don't have to do sacrifices. And there were things that God did back then that he doesn't do now, or he hasn't necessarily done. Not that God changes, but we're in a different covenant. So again, I don't take my doctrine of who God the Father is based on the old covenant, because Jesus said, if you've seen the Father, or if you've seen me, what? You've seen the Father, right? So Jesus' love walk is the absolute perfect picture of who the Father is. And so even though there are great things in the Old Testament, again, it's types and shadows. Those people back then didn't have a clear conscience, didn't have a clear understanding of what was coming ahead. And they were anticipating the Messiah, which was Jesus. So again, you know, all of these things, it's great. The Word of God is perfect. I'm not saying that, you know, there are bad things in the Old Testament. It's a rated R book, so there's some kind of dicey things in there. But, you know, we need to hear that too, right? I mean, they're just things we got to hear. And if you read the King James, you hear the monks and they kind of glaze things over. But anyway, it's just one of those things where It's an amazing book, and it just shows that what life is like without Jesus, especially the Old Testament, when people are spiritually dead, they weren't born again, and the dumb things they did. And we see people now that are born again, they do dumb things too, right? So, and people in the world. But we see here that those who love God, here we go, He causes our negative situations to turn around. See, God doesn't cause negative situations. I remember I was listening to a minister this week, meditating on some things, and he said something really good. The Lord spoke to him, and I said this too, but I like the way he said it. He said, the Lord told him, he's like, any good things in this earth come from me. Mm-hmm. The only reason you have any type of goodness in the earth right now is because of my presence. And that's true. Because remove God's presence from the earth, this place is an absolute chaotic nightmare. And that's what hell is. All hell is just absence from the presence of God. That's it. So, you know, when we see Jesus on the cross, is, you know, getting, he's, and I'm sure Jesus, of course Jesus in the scriptures dealt with things, and, you know, he was, had emotions in the garden of Gethsemane. He was sweating blood. So there's definitely pressure on him. But when he's on the cross and he said, why have you forsaken me? Basically, like, you know, your presence left me, Father. That's a time of concern for Jesus, right? Because the presence was on him all the time. And so that's where we see him. God does not cause bad things in your life. So again, God takes bad situations and he makes them good. God does not create bad situations. Many of the religious folks will say, well, you know, all things work together for good. Kind of like, you know, God, you know, throws this big snowball at you and all of these things just to teach us a lesson and everything. No, he can take your mess and turn it around. That's why his whole focus is not on your mess, but his focus is always on, I can make this right. See, I can correct things for you. Now, it doesn't mean if you get in sin and you have consequences, and there are something consequences with sins with, you know, people you're going to, you know, often you're going to have to live with, not only physical, but I'm going to just say this. There's always that whenever you sin or you're doing things in life, God can turn things around, but you're always going to have, the devil is going to always going to try to come back and dog you with that thing the rest of your life. Even though you're set free from those things, you're still going to have the enemy try to come back and bring those things back. So the Bible says he's the accuser of the brethren, right? All he does is accuse you of what you've done wrong. Well, guess what? Those things are gone. All he's doing is remember the Polaroids back then? Remember those? Then you take that thing and you wave it like that. I'm old school. Some people look at me like, huh? You take the Polaroid, you know, and then when I was at home, like, well, blow on it. Yeah, that'll make it just magically come to life that much faster if I blow on it, you know. And so you do this trick, and you're waiting, and then all of a sudden, that event is gone. It's no longer. And that's what the devil does. He likes to take that Polaroid picture and show you of something that does not exist anymore, right? Because you look at pictures of any of us in this room, when you were kids, the adults in here, when you were kids, that is not the same person. I mean, literally, physically, you're not the same person. Like, every molecule in your body is different now. We're always, what is it, a seven-year cycle or something like that? There's so many years where your body, right? So you're not even physically the same anymore. Yeah, you're the same person. But again, you're not even the same person you were, you know, 5 years ago. So again, people who have had, for example, people have addiction challenges, God can turn that around and make things good. He can set you free, right? It doesn't mean God's blessing the mess, but what he's saying is, I can turn things around and correct the situation in your life. But I always like to say this, the best testimony is the testimony of never going through those things. You know, growing up in a Christian home, living for God, never having those things behind you. But you know what? It doesn't matter, because we're all got the same clean slate. If you lived a life of dirt and junk and you've repented and the blood has washed you clean, it's the same as somebody that's grown up in church and live for God. Now, obviously, the person that's going to live for God, you know, they're going to have more fruit in their life. But we look at this, the best testimony. But Jesus always turned, and that's whole Jesus' whole life was about turning, when he walked here on the earth, turning bad situations and making them good, right? All the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are nothing but Jesus showing up at a situation, everything looked bad, and turning things around, right? He never said, oh, this is a mess. Let me just go ahead and leave them in this and teach them a lesson, right? People that, well, God puts sickness and disease on people to teach them, you know, or kills them, you know, so other people can get saved, or he puts sickness on people so that it can teach them a lesson. I don't ever see Jesus saying that one time in the Gospels. He never one time said, you know what? You're a leper. How about your left arm fall off and then I'll come back and heal you later. How's that sound, right? You haven't lost enough fingers and toes yet. The woman will issue blood. You know what? You spent all your money on doctors. What'd you do something stupid like that for? You know what? You deserve to be in that situation. You need to learn your lesson. You haven't learned it yet. No, he never did that. That's ridiculous. And Jesus absolutely fulfilled Romans 8:28, that he went God caused all things to work together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. That reminds me of Acts 10:38. Let's turn there real quick. And I'm going to read the King James. Do you still love me? All right, I'm sorry. So Romans 8:28 says that God causes all things to work together for the good of those that love God. Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about what? Doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For what? For God was with him. Guess what? Wherever God shows up, things change for the better. If you are going somewhere and God is with you, guess what? Things will change for the better. If you are leaning not unto your own understanding, but trusting in him. Philippians 4:4-7. I lied. I'm going a little longer. I'm sorry. I got like 12 pages here. No, I'm kidding. I'm not kidding. You know what? We got the weekend. We got the holiday. Everybody just buckle up. Did I mention I'm hungry? I mentioned that earlier. Philippians 4:4-7 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, and I will say rejoice. Here we go. Let your gentle spirit be known to all people. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and pleading with thanksgiving, let your requests be named unto God. Now, it doesn't say, sit around, try to figure everything out on your own. Now, it doesn't mean we don't use our gray matter upstairs, right? I'm all for school. I'm all for education. I'm all for these things. You know, we need to, you know, do homework and, you know, do the natural things. But God can give us the red or the green light on the inside. You know, if you're doing a business deal or you're doing something and you're wanting to buy a car, you know. How many have bought a car that's a lemon? I had a Ford Bronco too. One of those little Ford Broncos back in the day, and they were really neat. And you know, that was the biggest hunk of junk that I ever... No, there's two cars. There's other cars, too. But then there was a Plymouth Turismo that I bought in 1982. And that was, you know, it was the Dodge Charger version. The Plymouth version of the Dodge Charger. But it was they made the little hatchbacks instead of like the cool Dukes of Hazzard, you know, those cool ones, you know. Oh, no. This was the little cheesy hatchback, you know, one. So anyway... You know, we got a hatchback, so I'm okay with hatchbacks. But anyway, you know, on the inside, if you pray in the Holy Ghost, he would say, don't buy that thing. And also read Consumer Reports. Right? But you know what I'm saying? Sometimes, and you know, sometimes we get excited and it's flashy and it's red and it's shiny and, you know, we're like a puppy with a pork chop in front of us. I mean, we get excited, but sometimes we just slow down and check on the inside and say, you know what, what's really going on here? Because he's going to give us wisdom. He's going to help us out. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. Actually, let's go back to, we'll close with Philippians chapter 4 here, verse 4 through 7. I want to read this again. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known unto all people. The Lord is near. And do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and pleading with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God," here we go, "that surpasses all comprehension will guard your hearts and minds in Christ." I want to stop there for a minute. Let's read verse 7 again. "And the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension." You know, there's just sometimes where you're in a firestorm, and I have this before, and I think I'm pretty sure some people here have too, but there's sometimes where everything seems like it is falling apart, and you have got peace on the inside. And there should not be any reason why you have peace. I remember I lost a job one time, and they were shutting everything down. Having this, and there's guys like tearing up and getting upset. I mean, they're just, you know, really distraught. And I just had peace, you know. I mean, that's kind of a bombshell. You're sitting there, all of a sudden, it's like, okay, guys, you know, we're gonna shut everything down now. And you know, because you're coming into work and everything's just great, everything's wonderful, and we're making money hand over fist. The company is, and everything's great. And all of a sudden, it's just like, oh, we made a business decision not to, you know, be associated with any joint ventures with the firm and blah, blah, blah. And, okay, you know, those days where you just get kind of sucker punched, you know, by the world. On the inside, I just had peace. And again, why? Because this scripture was being fulfilled that day in me. Because it says, "And the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension." There is no reason I should have any kind of joy or peace that day, right? And see, that goes beyond comprehension. Every single situation, and the natural were screaming, "Oh my goodness, what are you going to do now?" "We'll guard your hearts and minds in Christ." If you've got peace that goes beyond comprehension, your heart and your mind is going to be at peace. And it's going to be guarded. And it's all about trusting in the Lord, leaning not to your understanding. Father, we just thank you so much for tonight, Lord. We're going to lean in you. You're a good God. We thank you that you cause all things to work together for the good of those that love you tonight. And I just pray tonight over all of us here. The people are going through things, whether it's financially, relationships, decisions to make, addictions, challenges, whatever it is in their life that they're going through, decisions. God, we thank you that you're giving them light tonight. That, Lord, in the days to come, that there will be wisdom, understanding, God, that'll just come from you, Lord. Just the supernatural things like pouring water into basins and making them wine, or taking a little boy's lunch and feeding 5,000 people, Lord. We thank you that there are going to be supernatural ideas and where to find the piece of gold in the fish mouth. But Lord, that people just have wisdom and understanding and know what to do. Lord, and resources are coming their way. People, help, finances, everything that people need in this church. We just thank you that you're there to help. There's going to be peace, Lord God, and favor. And we bless you in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Have a great holiday weekend and eat lots of good stuff for me. Okay? Do me that favor, would you?